Señoras y señores, bienvenidos a la
Ladies
conferencia
and gentlemen,
del tercer trimestre de
welcome
2024
to the CIE
de la mano de
Automotive
nuestro CFO,
Q3 results
Roberto
presentation.
Sánchez.
We have Lorea Aristizabal, Director of
Y
Corporate
Roberto Gómez
Development, with us.
Bolaños,
At the end of the
Director de
presentation,
Marketing.
there will be
Recuerdo
a
hacer las preguntas
Q&A.
por
We
escrito
remind you that it's only possible to
utilizando
ask
el chat.
questions in
A continuación,
writing through the tool provided in the webcast.
adelante,
I'll
por
now
favor.
hand over to Lorea. Go ahead, please.
Muy buenas tardes a todos.
Very good afternoon,
Bienvenidos
everyone,
a
and
este
welcome
día de
to
resultados del
the
tercer
conference
trimestre.
call on the results
Un
for this
tercer
third
trimestre en
quarter,
el que hemos visto
a third quarter
marcados
in
por el
which we've
crecimiento en
seen
todos los
strong growth
sectores
in
y
all
una recuperación
markets compared to
impactada
the third quarter of
gracias
last year,
a la baja
thanks
base
to
comparable,
low
ya que el
comparison base
trimestre
that
del
the
2021
third
fue
quarter of
más impactado
2021
por la escasez
was
de semiconductores.
the most hit by the
Un tercer
shortage of
trimestre que este año ha
semiconductors.
tenido
A
un
third
entorno
quarter
menos
this
complejo
year
en
that has
general,
had a
pero sobre
very
todo desde el punto de
complex
vista
environment
macroeconómico
in
y desde
general,
el punto de vista
both from
sectorial,
the macroeconomic
que ha
and
afectado
sectorial
mejor a
points of
unos
view,
mercados que a
and
otros,
which
y
has
si lo
affected some
hacemos,
markets
vamos a
more than
desarrollarlo
others.
rápidamente.
And if you like, we can review them
Empezamos por
quickly.
Europa,
We start
y es
with
que a
Europe,
pesar de un crecimiento del
and in spite
20%
of a
en este tercer
20% growth
trimestre,
in this third
Europa
quarter,
continúa siendo la
Europe
segunda más
continues to
dejada
be
del mundo,
the
creciendo
market
un
most
trimestre menos que el
lagging
resto de
behind.
nuestros
It has
mercados,
grown in the quarter
el único
less
que
than the rest of our markets
sequencialmente
and has
ha
been the only
incrementado
one
los
that
volúmenes
has
respecto
worsened
a los
in
dos
volume
trimestres anteriores.
sequentially compared to the two
Si
previous
miramos las
quarters.
actuales previsiones,
However,
ya
the
que
current
tenemos
forecasts
datos de los
refer
últimos
to a
meses de
strong
enero,
fourth quarter, the
4
strongest
millones
in the
de vehículos
year, with
producidos,
4
lo que
million
supondría
vehicles
en el
produced,
2022
which would take the
15
year
millones.
2022
Y aún así,
15.2 million.
aún con ese trimestre
And even so,
increíble,
even
estos
this with
niveles supondrían
very
más o
strong
menos
quarter,
2%
these
sobre el
levels
volumen
would
de
represent
2021,
2% less than
1,1%
2021,
respecto al año 2020
6% less than
pre-pandemia, y un
2020, and
30%
almost
sobre el volumen
30%
pre-pandemia.
less compared to the
A partir de
pre-pandemic
aquí,
volumes.
se espera un 23 con
From
un
here on,
crecimiento de
a
unas 7,7
2023 is expected with a growth
hasta
of 7%
7,2
up
millones
to
de vehículos,
16.2
que
million
estimamos que
vehicles,
supone
which
empatar con
would
lo que fue
simply
el año
mean
2020
tying
pre-pandemia.
with the year
En ello,
2020.
el crecimiento europeo del
A
cuarto trimestre
European
debería
growth
ser
scenario for the fourth quarter
positivo en
and
su
for
conjunto,
2023,
con cierta
which
cautela,
we consider
aunque
with
todavía
a certain
aún
amount of
inviable y
caution,
sujeto a demasiadas
since we're
incertidumbres.
facing a
La
very
crisis
vulnerable market
ucraniana,
subject to too many
escasez de chips,
uncertainties, energy crisis, shortage of
inflación,
chips,
desempleo,
inflation, interest
aumento de
rates,
emisión.
consumer confidence, emission regulations,
Pasamos a
etc.
hablar de Norteamérica
We
con
move
un
on to North
4%
America with a
en
growth
este
of
tercer trimestre, un
24%
poco
in
por
this,
debajo del crecimiento del mercado
a
global.
little bit lower than
Unas
bull
previsiones
market growth.
pronostican un cuarto trimestre fuerte,
Forecast
similar al tercer
of a
trimestre, con
strong
23,7
fourth
millones
quarter,
de vehículos,
similar to the
y
third,
un
with
total de
3.7 million
2,000 hasta
vehicles, which would
14,5
take
millones,
2022 to
un
14.5
11%
million,
respecto al año pasado, y
11%
además
more than
incrementando
last
un
year,
mínimo de 1
2021,
punto
but
respecto
still
al año
11%
anterior.
less compared to the
Un crecimiento
pre-pandemic volumes.
que continuaría
A
el año
growth
entrante
that
con
would
un más
continue next
6%
year,
para
with
Norteamérica y
plus
un
6%
6,4
for
millones de
North
vehículos
America to
producidos.
reach
Uno de los principales
15.4 vehicles
hipótesis
produced.
detrás de estas
One of the
proyecciones
main
es que
hypotheses
seguiremos
behind these
precisamente
forecasts
bajando inventarios
is the
debido a la crisis
historically
que está existiendo en el
low
mercado
inventory
europeo de
level
coches,
that
y que
still
debería
exists
llevar a
today
cargar
in the
los
North
inventarios
American
en los
market
próximos
and
trimestres,
which should lever productions in the coming quarters,
su nivel prepandemia
making
ya
North
en
America
pre-pandemia.
recover its pre-pandemic level by
Alonso lo ha dicho,
2025.
mercado que ya el año
In
pasado
China,
recuperó
a
los niveles
market that last
prepandemia,
year recovered
haciendo la
pre-pandemic
comparación
levels
este año mucho más
and
exigente,
making the comparison with this
pero
year
que aún
much more
así no ha
demanding.
crecido este año
But even
más
so, this
3,3%
quarter it has
en
grown
Europa y un
31%
5%
and
sequencial,
30%
pasando del
sequentially
-3%
compared to the
del año,
second quarter of the year
con una
in a
estimación de volúmenes
context
perdidos en el
where a
sector
lost
automotriz
volume is being
respecto
recovered in the
al
second quarter
pre-pandemia.
because of the
A
COVID
medida que
lockdowns,
se
as you'll
espera que el
remember.
cuarto trimestre sea el más
China
complejo
is also expected
con
to have the
7,4
strongest
millones de
quarter
vehículos,
of the year in
lo
Q4
que
with
pondría el año
7.4 million
2022
vehicles
en
produced,
26,4
which would
millones,
take
unos
2022
6,4
to
millones por
26.4
debajo del
million,
año 2021,
6% more than
6%
2021,
por encima
and
de los volúmenes
7%
prepandemia. La
over
expectación
pre-pandemic
es que
volumes.
China continúe
The
creciendo
current
a un dígito
expectation
dos
is that China will
más
continue to grow from these
1% en
levels
2023 hasta alcanzar
by
los
1% in
26 millones en
2023 to
2022,
reach
aumentando
26.6 million
sustancialmente en
vehicles,
2023,
offsetting somewhat the
alcanzando
strength of
gradualmente su nivel histórico
2022,
de 28
and gradually
millones, que
reaching
se espera
its
que
historic record of 28 million,
supere ya en el año
which
20.
it is
Muy buenas
expected
perspectivas
to
para el mercado
exceed in
europeo, con
2025.
visibilidad de ya
Very
significativa
good
para los
prospects for
próximos
this
años,
market without significant
especialmente con
bottlenecks
el mercado
like
chino,
other
que una
geographies
vez más
and
se
with
convierte en el
specific
mercado
incentives
chino,
that have been implemented once again by the Chinese government to revitalize the automotive sector, a critical sector for the country's economy, and incentives that seem to be achieving the impact they were looking for. Moving to India, a growth of 33% in the quarter, and we have to emphasize the fact that India is a market that last year already reached to pre-COVID levels, like China, which underlines even more the extremely strong double-digit growth this year, which has led to a quarterly production record of 1.3 million vehicles. For the first quarter, a volume is expected of 1.2 million. This would imply an annual growth of 21% and reaching the historic figure of 5 million vehicles in India, which put them in fourth position of producing countries worldwide. A fourth position that would be consolidated in 2023 with an expected additional increase of volume of 3%. The combination of a really low car ownership level, a growing middle class, a strong post-pandemic demand, and a normalized supply without disruptions in the supply chain back the excellent situation of the Indian market. Finally, Brazil, which has also grown in this third quarter, much more than the average, 34%, exceeding 600,000 vehicles, which consolidates several consecutive months of sequential improvements in volume in the country. The fourth quarter is expected to be similar to the third and would take the Brazil market 2.2 million vehicles, 5% from last year, although still at 20% below the pre-pandemic level. For 2023, a new growth of 5% is expected and a gradual recovering up to 2.8 million vehicles produced, which were the pre-pandemic levels, and it is expected that these levels will be attained in 2026. Well, the global market, the sum of the different snapshots of the various markets we've seen results in the third quarter that so far is the best quarter this year, with 21.2 million vehicles produced and a growth of 27%. Even so, it's expected that the last quarter of the year will be even better, with 21.6 million vehicles produced, but a forecast based on significant sequential improvement both in Europe and in China, which we will have to monitor. If this is achieved, 2022 would reach 81.8 million vehicles produced, 10% below 2019, and 15% below the peak volumes of 95 million in 2017. And with this backdrop, with this market, we have reported this third quarter, a third quarter where, again, we have exceeded a billion in sales for the second consecutive quarter. This has taken us to sales slightly over 3 billion so far, sales which in comparison with the market in the first 9 months of the year represent an outperformance of more than 8 points. A quarter where we're growing at high double-digit growth in all our account result lines in an environment that continues to be extremely complicated. A quarter which is highest in a bit with 1.056 billion and 171 respectively, with an EBITDA and a net income growing by 30%, an accumulated EBITDA in the year of practically 500 million and a net income of 235 million. And we have to highlight what we're achieving, significantly higher results than the ones we had before COVID, when the market hasn't yet recovered these levels. If we talk about the balance sheet and especially about cash flow, which, as you know, is our top priority, it always has been and always will be. Talking about operating cash flow, we have generated 100 million in the quarter, in line with previous quarters, more than 300 million so far this year, which means converting 66% of the EBITDA. If we talk about cash flow, including the growth capex and the growth working capital, we have generated 75 million in the quarter and more than 200 million so far this year. We're talking about turning into free cash flow approximately 45% of the EBITDA, and reducing our debt levels to 1.8 times net financial debt over EBITDA. But we haven't done it that way. In this context, we have decided to invest those 200 million in free cash flow generated during these first 9 months in corporate operations, all of them with the same profile, all of them with a single goal, to remunerate the shareholder. We have invested 94 million euros in dividends, 60 in buybacks to a reduced capital, and 57 million in the purchase of MCIE minority stakes, taking this debt to 2.1 times national debt. In other words, our high cash generation level is enabling us, on the one hand, the value of the company by reducing debt from the 2.4 times net financial debt EBITDA in December 2021 to the current 2.1 times. We're practically in our comfort zone of approximately 2 times. But at the same time, this enables us to invest in maximizing shareholder remuneration, the investment which we believe currently makes sense in the present context. And there's little more to add. These are the messages, and this is our presentation. I would like to end by saying that the good results in the last few quarters and the favorable prospects for CIE, even in this complex environment, enables us to talk about continuing to grow, and it enables us to look at the future with optimism, even if it's with prudent optimism because of the uncertainties today, of course. And now we can move on to the interesting part, if you like, to your questions. Yes, we have several questions. Let's try to group the subjects together as usual. We'll start with the third quarter. There are two specific questions. The sequential drop in margins in Europe when the rest of the areas have improved. And another question is the higher depreciation in NAFTA. Is that due to anything specific? Margins in traditional Europe, if I'm not mistaken, we're talking about approximately 15% compared to a somewhat higher percentage in the third quarter last year, 16 point something. If we look at it sequentially, I'm at 16, 17, 15. There's a certain drop in margin in the third quarter. Yes, that's normal. I think it's normal. There's a penalization because we have to remember that this has been the quarter with the highest price we paid so far on average. We paid the average, I'll repeat it again, the highest average energy price so far. So yes, to me it seems normal to have suffered a little penalization in the Europe margins this quarter. And also bear in mind that the Europe we report includes most of the most energy intensive division we have, the aluminium injection division, and it also includes machining and plastic. In other words, we're talking about energy intensity in those divisions. I think that we need to normalize this. We have to talk about the first 9 months in an extremely complicated market in a Europe that's having margins between 15 and 17 in these first three quarters. I don't see the problem. What I see is an incredible achievement. The second question was about NAFTA depreciation. Okay, the NAFTA depreciation issue. Yes, perhaps it's increased slightly. There are a number of issues, such as an increase in activity. You know that we have an important part of our amortization related to activity levels. There's a part of the projects that are being launched, especially in our gold plant in the United States. So you have the initial depreciation of all that without yet having the sales and the results. There's a tooling depreciation issue in Mexico, but I wouldn't single it out as important. I think it's an isolated issue, and we've seen depreciation levels we've seen in the past and we'll see in the future. So going beyond one quarter and one geography where there's a slight one-off deviation. The next question is about the ninth-month breakdown of Forex pass-through and market share gain. A recurrent question. If I remember correctly, this question was answered by our CEO, Jesús Mari, in June. And I think I remember that at the time, the growth in the first half had been 18%. And we were talking about a Forex of 6% and dividing the other two-thirds practically between real organic growth and pass-through. If we continue the wake of Jesús Mari, I'll answer it the same way. After 9 months, we have a growth of 23%. You've seen in the presentation 7 point something Forex, which is approximately one-third. And the other two-thirds, I think, are distributed in real organic growth accumulated over 9 months and a little bit less than a third in the accumulated pass-through in these 9 months. We are also asked regarding the fourth quarter opinion on the IHS forecast on that fourth quarter compared to the CIE portfolio. Well, if we start talking about the fourth quarter and prospects, I would start by saying that the current visibility is always less than we had pre-pandemic. Before, the EBIs were 100% by our customers, and now our customers are changing with much less notice. And this not just only complicate production management, but also visibility. I'll say this as a disclaimer. Fourth quarter, I said this earlier, the fourth quarter, according to IHS, is going to be the strongest in the year, but it's based on two major hypotheses that are the special strength of the Chinese market in the fourth quarter, a Chinese market that would be 7.4 million, stronger than all the previous quarters. And this is possible. We think it's feasible, considering the Chinese environment that we can discuss later if you like. And the other hypothesis is the enormous strength of the European market, which sequentially would go from 3.5 to 4 million vehicles. I think that this is where we actually have a little bit more caution and prudence, given the low visibility and the great uncertainty in the European market right now. I don't know if there was something else in the question, or was it the fourth quarter of IHS versus our portfolio? Our portfolio tells us that we could be talking about a Europe that is coming on strong, but we've also had a slight portfolio in the last few months. And therefore, I think we have to be prudent. There could be a slight reduction. And I hope that the effects initially forecast will be felt in our portfolio. And now we're asked about 2023, the IHS estimates that have gone down over time. Do you expect further corrections in Europe, for example, for the OEMs? How do you see that 2023 as seen by IHS? Well, it's true. IHS has lowered its reviews. And it's true that all the latest reviews have been concentrated on two markets. They've been reviewing and dropping market and raising China. But the net at different points in time, in quarters, in different years, has given a net positive, net negative. Again, what I was saying about the fourth quarter. The fourth quarter, 4.5 was the beginning for Europe. 4 is the current forecast, 6 point some million for China, and 7 is the current forecast for China. It's true that we have other kinds of estimates. Fitch, for example, I think this week they published, and I think I remember that they spoke about a more negative Europe in the fourth and next year than published than what has been published by IHS. There are differences of opinion, and there isn't a very clear consensus neither regarding the fourth quarter or 2023. And again, basically it's focused on two geographies, China, but most of all Europe. And when there's no consensus and difference of opinion, it probably means that we still have to wait for that consensus to reach a middle ground. And I think that we have to wait to move into the quarter to have a better vision, not just of the quarter, but of next year. So I think that we have to be cautious, especially about the European market, I would say. And thinking about CIE and the raw materials that seem dropping, how are those negotiations going with customers? Perhaps raw materials could go down in 2023, and other types of inflation. How are those discussions going? How do you see things in 2023 at CIE? Well, some things are easier than others. In the area of raw materials, there are difficulties, but there are conversations that are ending very successfully, because in the end, raw material is a commodity included in contracts. So let me say that it's the least complicated part. And then I would talk about two as energy, especially focused Europe. Initially, the customers were very negative about accepting the energy pass-through in Europe. But it's true that over the quarters, the negotiations, I would say, ended up fairly reasonably. There's a time when our customers have to make a decision, which is to kill the supplier base or accept at least part of that inflation that is affecting, that is having such an impact on the results of the suppliers. And I think that they've understood that the long-term survival of the supply chain and their supplier base means accepting a part of that pass-through. So these are conversations that have been more successful with some customers in some geographies and some European countries than others. But we're managing to pass through a good amount. And the third level would be labor, especially in recent quarters. There's been a brutal effect in the United States, and it's also coming here in 2023 in Europe at a lower level, but it's also coming. And I think that customers there are much more negative about accepting it. And we'll see how conversations develop in the coming months. But of course, we cannot make the future of our results depend on those negotiations being positive. So we're very focused on action plans at all plants, so that at all of them, we will try to offset all that potential that isn't passed through to customers. So I think that our results prove this today. It proves that for many months, we've been passing through what we can, but seeing productivity, efficiency, expansion, resizing with our own tools where we can in each plant and with its own context, that this is what we've been doing and what we're going to continue to do. And they're asking about the update of the chip situation and how you see the China-US tension in the specific area of the chips. Well, regarding the chips, there are still bottlenecks. I think that's obvious. That's the way it was foreseen for 2023. But the situation is certainly better than it was last year. We're talking about an impact that last year was around 10 million vehicles that were not produced, when for this year, about 3 million are expected. So the coming into operation of new plants, of new lines, of new chip production capacity means that the supply is improving, it's normalizing. And even though there have been tensions with China, Taiwan, United States, we believe that the trend to improve is going to continue. To give you just a figure, in this three quarter last year, the impact was 3.5 million vehicles that were not produced. And for the third quarter this year, it's been quantified at less than 500,000, approximately 400,000 vehicles. So we're talking about an objective and a real improvement.
So again, I think
that next year is the year for a gradual normalization over the quarters, a normalization in supply, something that some markets will be very grateful for, because the chip impact is not the same in all markets. On the one hand, we have Europe and North America, especially the United States, with impact of the chip issue. Well, they feel more than 50% of that impact, and we have markets like China, India, or Brazil, where the chip issue practically hasn't had an impact on the supply chain. So there will be markets like Europe or North America that will be much more grateful than others for the normalization of this semiconductor market. We're asked about the impact of labor cost increases in 2023. How much has already been negotiated?
Yo creo que lo he comentado.
Can you give us some color on that? I think I mentioned it in the previous answer on the repercussion of inflation in general. Labor is something that we've been working on for 2 years in the United States. It's something we're negotiating with customers. With some customers, we're more successful, with others, less. It's being harder than raw materials or energy. And as I said, we're proving that everything that isn't offset, whether labor or materials or energy, is being passed through by the use of productivity tools in our plants. And we're offsetting that effect to achieve the results that we're obtaining. All the tensions we're seeing in employment, in Europe, consumer confidence, interest rates, etc. Can this improve the potential for CIE to gain market share, M&A? How do you see it? Well, in history, you've always seen that it's true that we make the most of crises. A starting point that is stronger than other players, together with a perfect storm that the sector has been going through for 3 years, means that there are many other players that suffer more than we do and that will die before we do. This means that our customers are facing a natural selection in their supplier base, and we're gaining market share. I think that's the reality you've been seeing for many quarters. And with the complexity of the market, it looks as if that's the reality of the market we're going to continue to see in the future. So the answer is yes, making use of the opportunity provided by this crisis that has a much bigger impact on other players than on us. We are asked about the underperformance of China, and is it worthwhile taking position with these local producers in China, or are these margins that are not within the CIE standard? Well, I'm afraid the answer won't change from the previous quarter. We're talking about commercial strategies that we have to give much more time to than a single quarter. So I'll answer the same we have in previous quarters. That is, our experience so far in China is small. It's a couple of years. We've had a bad experience in projects with Chinese OEMs where the price levels don't meet our profitability standards. We don't know if that's going to go on forever and ever. And it's not something that's going to change next quarter, if you ask the question again. We've only been 2 months in China with the CIE Gold topic. So I think that we need to be there longer to understand what our commercial position is. And linking with China and thinking about Asia in general, we've bought shares from Mahindra CIE recently in this third quarter. Although in China, the GDP is shrinking somewhat. How have your expectations changed regarding Asia? Now you see that India is materializing its potential. Asia, well, I'll start with China, for example. You've seen the growth this year, the strong growth this year, where we're above the pre-pandemic volumes already. In 23, we expect a growth again, just 1%. But it's a growth that makes up for the strong growth in 2022. And we think it can be more due to the incentives that are being provided by the government. It's true that for 24 and 25, bigger increases are expected, 5-6%. There's a demand. There are subsidies. There are no significant bottlenecks as there are in other geographies. In other words, it's a good context. To give you a bit of color, incentives. There are very important incentives. The government wants to back one of the critical sectors for their economy, the automotive sector. We've seen a reduction in vehicle purchase tax, which was at 10% and has gone down to 5% as a national initiative in June this year. is being applied from June until the end of 2020. It's similar to initiatives we've seen in previous years. And this is additional to other incentives we've seen from local governments that were deployed in the second quarter, incentives that are in 36 cities, 10 provinces, that include 65% of sales in the country. And in parallel, we're seeing the national government and the OEMs discussing the possibility of extending incentives 1 year further for new energy vehicles until 2023. It currently ends in 22. There have also been macro and monetary incentives in China that help with the general context. I don't know, from general tax reductions, extension of payback of loans, financing or funding of infrastructures. In other words, the context supports the automotive sector, so we're relatively positive about this market and the joy it might bring in global growth. India, another market, because I think you were asking about the two Asias. India, I think that we have to talk about the short-term and long-term potential. Short-term potential, well, there are many factors. Good crops, rice and wheat export prices that favor rural income, a low impact of the semiconductors, as I said, perhaps because it's a less sophisticated market in their cars in general. We've also seen the launching of many new models this year, 2022. Many of them are going to coincide now with the festivities, with Diwali in this time of the year. Inventory levels that are still low. Reduction of raw material prices. In other words, the whole short-term context helps. And if we think about the long-term, when we look up, we see a very low car ownership rate, 3 out of 100 inhabitants. The expansion of the economy and the increase of the middle class is going to help improve this rate. Half of Indian homes have a motorbike, but there's a tremendous margin to increase the penetration of cars, especially in rural areas with that rural income that's being favored and with those infrastructures that improve year after year. Also structural characteristics of India. There's a young population with a high consumer potential, a growing middle class. The new buyers represent almost 50% of car sales this year, versus less than 40% that young part of the population a few years ago. These are very good figures. Labor much cheaper than China. More companies going into the country. They speak English compared to China. So this helps us to think about a positive India. So you were asking about India. So we see a very positive potential. Well, these are all the questions. Well, thank you all very much. And in any case, we're at your disposal if there are any questions that haven't been asked or answered. Thank you all very much for your time.